buckle up for the Uncommon Leader Podcast. Just friends hanging out and breaking down leadership challenges and unwrapping techniques that can be applied to make a difference. A fun look at what is possible if we lead in an uncommon way. An invitation to be the champion we were created to be. Not your typical leadership podcast.
Welcome back, Uncommon Leader Podcast listeners. My guest today is Jacob Gruce, the high school basketball coach at Cave Spring High School in Roanoke, Virginia. The Knights were able to win the state championship just 2 years ago, and it was documented in a book recently by Eddie Lloyd called There's No Place Like Home. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I was able to consume it in about two nights. It's a fun story about how the team went through a season and the challenges they faced. Coach Gruce and I talk about the book and other stories about people who've influenced his life and who he is and wants to be as an uncommon leader. This was a lot of fun. If you're sticking around to the end, learn how you can win a copy of the book. Here we go. All right, Coach Gruce, state championship coach, Cave Spring High School. It's great to have you on the Uncommon Leader Podcast. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Just really appreciate being able to reconnect with you and be on here, man. It's a real honor and privilege to be on here with you.
I know. We had a chance a few minutes before we started here to talk about that connecting and how we lived in the same town, but one of these days we'll get you down to Myrtle Beach and a place for you to stay there as well as you come down. So I'm looking forward to that also. Well, let me jump right in. I know I asked the same question of all of my guests on the show for my listeners. Tell me a little bit, being this a leadership podcast, tell me a little bit about a story of your youth or even early in your coaching career that's impacted you such that it still impacts you today and who you are.
When I immediately think about that, I think about my mom and dad. I've told everybody growing up in the great state of West Virginia, and I've got one older brother. A lot of my family's still in West Virginia. My grandparents, who are deceased now, lived probably 4 minutes from me, the other one lived probably about 6 minutes from me. But when I think about leadership and who's impacted me, you know, to me, I immediately go to my mom and dad. Talking about servant leadership, my mom was a stay-at-home mother. Every person thinks, man, that'd be a great job, and how hard do they actually work? My mother's a saint. She dealt with my dad, my brother, and me. And since she had three kids, is what I tell everybody. And she was a stay-at-home mother and did an unbelievable job of running the household, making sure that we were at practices when we were supposed to, making sure our lunches and our breakfasts were ready, and just being the total caretaker for the three of us. It's just amazing what she did. My dad was, you know, just a hardworking man. But again, like when I think about my dad, like I think about all the sacrifices he made, you know. If you've ever seen that Facebook meme about dads, and I remember my dad wearing a Panama City Beach, a baseball classic t-shirt from like 1993, and the man still has it today. I've never known my dad to spend a dime on himself. He always wanted, we never did without, but we weren't spoiled growing up. They taught us about hard work, and my dad exemplified that every single day of his life, and he just wanted to make sure that my mom was taken care of and me and my brother were taken care of. So to me, I immediately look at my mom and dad and, you know, just the role that they've had in my life and still do. And, you know, my dad, every year I buy him the gear that we buy our team. And he said before he retired, he's retired now, that he would see people and be like, Joe, do you coach? And he'd be like, no, why? He's like, you've got Dan River basketball shirts on, then you had Averett, West Virginia Tech, Cave Spring. Said you're always in basketball gear and polos and stuff that we get him. So to me, when I think about that, man, I just think about the sacrifice my parents have made and still do to this day. They're just incredible people. They were just down this past weekend. I can't thank them enough for everything they've done for me.
No, I think that's cool. And I can't imagine some of the gear that he's got, some of the swag that you've given him. You've had an opportunity at many schools to do that, and he still wears it right over top of his Panama Jack t-shirt, which is probably underneath, just to tuck in underneath. So that's right. A good story. And I mean, I think that's powerful when you can really talk about, hey, the influence of your parents and how what they've had on you, and then ultimately how they've shaped who you are as a parent, having a young son and a young daughter, as I've met them before and as they come up as well. So it's something that's really big. Well, hey, thanks for sharing that. And again, I'll probably reference, and I'm going to put this up even though nobody will be able to see it, just an audio, but I've read your book, No Place Like Home, that came out, or Eddie Lloyd wrote it, and quite a story about the state championship season at Cave Spring High School that you had recently. And I am curious, I mean, when I think about that book, that for me, there was a power in both the story of the games that the teams won and the adversity they came through. But ultimately for me, it was about the front end of who Jacob Gruse is and how he was formed. And really at the end about coaching the right way. So let's start at the beginning of that book and who Jacob was. You mentioned West Virginia a couple of times in the book. It talks about the hollers of West Virginia. You've coached at a West Virginia college in terms of an assistant coach and then been in Virginia at a couple high school coaching stints as you've gone through. What is the story that you remember of all those teams or even in one of your high school teams that has impacted you and kind of something that sticks with you that you were able to tell your teams and keep them going as well?
You know, to me, it's again, everything for me goes back to family. I'm just so rooted in our family, and our family's been such a pivotal part of my life. And again, my parents are just unbelievable people. Is my high school coach, Tex Williams, still talk to this day. My dad played for him, my brother played for him, and then I played for him. So, You know, he was a tough son of a gun, still is to this day, hard nosed. When I say old school, to me, that's the right way. Just really got after kids. We call it intense fellowship in our program when coaches have to get after each other because it's probably not politically correct to say we're screaming and yelling at people. So we call it intense fellowship time. But like to me, it's one of those things that like growing up and playing basketball for Coach Williams was you couldn't come home at the dinner table and be like, man, Coach was too hard on me or Coach was unfair to me because my dad played for him in the 70s. My brother played for him in the early 90s, and I graduated in high school in 1997 from St. Thomas High School. It wasn't like, hey, oh, you're right, Coach is being too tough. It was, man, shut up. We had it a whole lot harder than you did. You know, so don't come home and whine and complain about, oh, he's running you too much or you're doing this. Like, we promise our stories are way harder than what you have. So we've had tons of laughs and about things like that. You know, my mom was a cheerleader at St. Thomas High School cheering for my dad. So it's all ingrained, man. They still live in our hometown. It's all ingrained. And, you know, I think that's cool to be able to, I don't know how many people can actually say that they played for the coach that their dad played for.
Yeah, there aren't many that are able to do that. I find that kind of fun. Again, even as you say those, it takes me back to some of the coaches that I had growing up. And I even had a little bit of a chance to coach basketball in the rec league as I went through and got a chance to coach my son. And that's challenging, man. It's not easy to either, again, be coached by your dad or be coached by your dad's coach. I guess that could be even more challenging. Yeah. And some of the things that come along with that. So I bet those are really challenging. And you mentioned Coach Williams being a tough coach. I like that. You weren't going to get any sympathy when you came home to the kitchen table about him being too tough. And again, that probably formed a little bit about who you are today as well. And in the spirit of listening to, you know, the listeners of this podcast talking about continuous leadership development, I know you're a pretty tough coach too, no doubt about it. I've had a chance to watch you from the stands and some of the coaching that you have. And I know that you are a tough coach. In today's world, how have you had to adjust? How have you had to grow as a leader and as a coach to coach in that space and still be tough as well?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm not the easiest guy to play for. And I'm okay with that. Everybody say that the kids have changed these days. I totally disagree with that. I think parents have changed. I think that parents allow kids to transfer too much. I think kids are allowed to be able to escape hard situations and adversity. And I think parents just don't allow them to experience those tough things. So I have a hard time. Or I heard Jason G, who used to be the head coach at Longwood University and was the head coach at University of Charleston for a long time in West Virginia. And I heard him talk about that, and it really resonated with me. Like, we got to quit blaming kids. Like, kids haven't changed. It's the parents that have changed. I don't know if we're becoming a softer generation or what that is. But, like, coaching has changed dramatically. I'm probably not the same coach that I was when I was at Dan River. Some of those kids have come and seen me coach, and they're like, Coach, you got soft in your own age. Like, man, there's no way you'd let me get away with that. And the kids here are like, man, like, Coach is really, really, really hard on me. But I think with that, too, has come age and maturity. Like, I was probably way too hard on my kids at Dan River. I think I'll be the first to admit that. And, you know, when I left there and got to be at West Virginia Tech with Bob Williams, who's now the PG coach at Fort Union Military Academy, like, it opened up my eyes to a lot of things. And he still is a tough son of a gun as well. And just really got after kids. But I got to see it through an assistant role a little bit better. When you're sitting, you know, what is that, 16 inches over in one seat, it's a lot easier to see a game. And you've never missed a call or or made a back play call from there. It just gives you a different perspective. And I've always, not to toot my own horn, but I really feel like my rapport with kids has always been like one of my strong suits. I probably have in coaching. I'm probably not the best X's and O's guys, but really forming those relationships have been really, really important. I got to see how Coach formed those relationships and how he did things. And really got to be able to take a step back and watch that. And I think that has really evolved me into a coach. Because not many coaches go from being a head coach and running their own program to step back and be an assistant. Usually they go from head job to head job to head job. And I'm like, honestly, it was the best thing that I ever.
There's so much to what you just said. I mean, in that, you know, just over a couple of minutes in terms of going through it. I mean, the fact that I agree with you as well, that kids can be coached tough today. You build a relationship with them. You set expectations and hold them to a high level expectation. That toughness is not something that needs to be an aggressive toughness, but it is when you set the rules in place and you follow the rules or there are going to be changes. So I appreciate that. To hear that relationship building is so important to you with your players as well, and how that goes so far, it allows you the opportunity to then lead. And I think that last point, and maybe not as much even about the kids, but just about leadership in general, is the opportunity to go from a head coach to step back, not necessarily take a step back, but to step back and then be an assistant. You mentioned sit 16 inches beside somebody and watch them do it, and how you can grow as well, having a mentor there, having a teacher there that you can learn from even more, and then come back in and be that much better as you come back into the head coach's chair is powerful as well. So I think those are great stories and great things for us to learn from as well. And you think about some of the things you learned. I got to believe you learned at West Virginia Tech, but the part of the story is that there was also a sacrifice you had to make as well. So you were not just the assistant coach, but you wore a lot of hats. And then secondly, one of the bigger sacrifices, and again, sacrifices that leaders have to make today, whether it's in coaching or in business or in life, is that you also had to leave family behind, if you will, for a little while in that story, and how you had a long distance relationship with family, two small children. So tell me a little bit about that and how that was and what that meant to you from your growth and your relationship with your wife as well and kids.
Yeah, man, we'll talk about from the coaching standpoint first, which was awesome to be able to go to West Virginia Tech. I never recruited a kid. I never given a kid an offer for a scholarship. I jumped right into a college job, and it was just me and Coach Williams. There was no other assistants. We didn't have any GAs. We didn't have anybody. So, I mean, I was checking grades. I was doing laundry. I was the strength coach. I was individual workouts. You know, I had to do it all, which at some points we all kind of feel bad for ourselves when we're tired. We're doing all these things, but like, it was the greatest thing to be able to just be thrown into it. And I'm not saying that Coach Williams didn't do any of that. I mean, obviously he helped to do things, but trading films, making sure the gym was set up, it just gave me that full program perspective. And I think it made me appreciate, I always did, I've always had tremendous assistants, but maybe made me appreciate my assistant coaches even more so for the amount of work that they had to do. So it was cool to be able to wear all those hats, you know, 99.9% of the time. That was great. And then I always say that there's a special place in heaven for coaches' wives. Harry Daniel, the guy that gave me my first basketball job ever at Southwestern Randolph High School, was a JV coach. I graduated college in December, had a job starting January 1 there. And he walked by and he's a retired Coast Guard, and he was about 100 years old. That's what I tell everybody at the time. He hired me, walked by, and he didn't know my name. So he just called me Gus, which he still calls me that to this day. That's probably the best thing he's ever called me. So, Gus, I heard you wanted to coach. I said, yes, sir. He said, I tell you what, we start practice today. I'm going to work your tail off, and I'm not going to pay you a dime. And I'm like, man, this sounds great, you know? So he gave me the advice that whenever you get married, you better marry a coach's wife. And, like, at 23 years old or however old I was, then I'm like, man, what's this old guy talking about? And, like, now I'm like, man, like, that guy was extremely brilliant. I still talk to him this day. And so when I left, I remember when I went up to West Virginia Tech to interview, and I called my wife on the way home. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, everybody thinks college coaches make a ton of money. I took a $20,000 pay cut to be an assistant coach at the college level because I've always wanted to coach in college. And again, teachers don't make a lot of money, so it's not like I was making a killing and taking a $20,000 pay cut. I said, I'm going to take a $20,000 pay cut. We have a 3-month-old little girl and a 2-year-old little boy, and you don't have a job, and you're going to be 5 hours away, and I'm going to live in my brother's spare room with him, his wife, and their 3 kids. And her response to me was, you're an idiot if you don't take it. This has always been your dream to coach in college. If you don't do it now, you may not ever have the opportunity again. And I'm like, man, like, I think about it all the time. Like, going back is like, because she drove every single weekend. She loaded those 2 kids up, drove 5 hours up to see me. And I'm thinking, I don't know if roles were reversed. Would I have been able to look at my wife and say, follow your dream? I got a 3-month-old and a 2-year-old and a full-time job, and I've got to juggle all this like she did. Like, I don't know many women that could do what my wife did. And I'm not trying to give brownie points to my wife. I'm just being honest. Like, and I don't know many men who would make that sacrifice for their wives. And for her to tell me to do that day was incredible. It was a tough 9 months. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It was really, really hard on her. Not, I mean, it was me for missing kids, but she had to juggle everything. And so she made some unbelievable sacrifices. And for her to be able to put myself and my dream and my coaching dreams before her and our family is something that I'm indebted to her for life. I really am.
Servant leadership at its best, the law of sacrifice, however you look at it. What are you willing to give up to go up? And it's not just to go up the corporate ladder, but to learn in the way you did. I think, no doubt, Jacob, both you and I have married up with regards to having wives that will continuously be servants to us. And that's a pretty powerful story in and of itself. And I do hope that Kristen listens and understands that recognition. So, and I think other people listen that we know. So let me shift gears here just a little bit. So one of the things that some of our listeners may recall, Pastor John Sharp was one of the guests on the show back on episode 6. You can go back and listen to that one. But he talked about a story of a coach that he helped out who used to throw his jackets and maybe say a few things that he wasn't supposed to and things like that. And I was wondering if Coach Bruce would get a chance to listen to that and hear that story, if he knew who that might be about, because he never said a name. So let me just turn it over to you. Got anything you want to say about that episode and your buddy, John?
That bullseye straight on my chest. I tell everybody, I said, here's a humbling experience for you, is when your pastor that you've known for about 2 weeks comes up to you and says, hey, man, I got a great idea. God's really speaking into me. I want to be your character coach. And I'm like, hey, man, yes, because you can't tell your pastor no on anything regardless of what they ask you to do. I'm like, yeah, tell me what it's about. He's like, hey, I just want to come alongside. I want to be there to support. I want to make sure that we're, you know, doing everything the right way. And I'm just there to support. And then in my younger days, I have been known to break clipboards or misplace a jacket on the bench. Those grease boards, those dry erase boards, they're not made the way they used to.
They're pretty slick.
And they're slick. My sport coat sometimes flies off, even though I haven't taken my sport coat off in 2 years. Nobody remembers that. They just remember when I throw it. And so here's the humbling experience is after the first couple of games, I started to get a text after the game from Pastor John. It was a letter grade. And I'm like, he gives me the first
letter grade.
Like C minus. And I'm like, man, I thought we played pretty good tonight. It's my response. Like, you know, I thought we did some good things. Like, I'm not talking about your team, I'm talking about you and how you behaved on the sidelines. And were you a good example, a godly example for your team on the sidelines? Like, you talk about a humbling experience and refocusing your lenses real quick on, you know, who you are and who you're supposed to be. Because when your pastor sends you a grade, man, that's tough because you can't really argue with it. I mean, let's be honest. So, yeah, that was me. Yeah, I broke a clipboard. But the best story I got about John Sharp is from this past year, we were playing Central Woodstock in the state semifinal game, or 2 years ago, state semifinal game. Parker Huffman gets a breakaway two-handed dunk and a big momentum change. The best part of that is seeing John Sharp jump on the sideline off of our bench. And many of your listeners don't know where Vinton is, but Vinton's not a big town right outside of Roanoke. I say, man, there's no way you can get a Vinton phone book underneath his feet. Because that dude has zero hops. I mean, zero hops. White man cannot jump, and that's John Sharp.
I would have loved to have seen that. And I'll make sure Pastor John gets a copy of this when it comes out as well. So they can hear that going on. So I do appreciate you sharing that, as well as the humility that takes, you know, on the leadership side to grow too personally. You got a long ways to go on the coaching sideline. Not, and I don't mean that from where you are. I just mean you're a young guy and you got a lot of influence left to have with different individuals, with different people who, when I talk about the greatest story ever told, I talk about it being the individuals who will write, you know, your name on their list when they're asked, hey, who's made a positive impact on your life? And I know that your name's going to be there. I want to finish with one more question that kind of goes along with that. In your book, No Place Like Home, it talked about your definition of success. And it said, for me, at least in basketball, it's how many guys come back to visit us and see the program and how they're doing. So tell me a little bit about that and success and what that means to you from the relationship with them and what that means to you from a legacy standpoint as well.
Yeah, I think coaches go through so many stages of their career, like, well, what anybody does. I think early on, it's like, how many games can I win as a coach? I've got to be able to prove myself. How many Coach of the Year awards can I get? How many, you know, I've got to prove myself. And I think after time goes on, you really figure it out, man, what's really important in life. And it's so cool when guys want to come back. Like, they want to come back. Like, I just had a kid, Charlie Argo, who was on our state championship team, just graduated last year, and he's helped coach in our middle school basketball team this year because he wants to see it be better. Like, to me, it's not coach speak. It's, I don't want to sound cliche, but, like, it's all about, like, how many guys come back and how many of them bring back, like, their wives or their girlfriends or eventually when they bring back their kids that they want them to see, like, where they were from and to meet the people who influenced their lives, like Coach Roth, who's my assistant, or Coach Mack, who's my assistant now. Or to me, that's what's important. You know, this past year, we went to, I think, 3 former players' weddings, which, one, I feel old going to these dudes' weddings. But I was at just now the last one we were at, and I had 7 seniors my very first year here, and we went to his wedding. 6 of those seniors, of the 7 seniors, were there. They're all of age now, so we sit down and had a beer or two and told some stories. And as time passes, those stories get embellished and they become better and better. And just, I told my wife, I said, man, it was so cool just to be able to sit around with those guys and just talk about the good old days, the glory days of when they play here, and to hear those guys talk about, like, man, I'd give anything to go back. And I'm like, now remember when I was yelling at you guys and telling you guys this, like, yeah, coach, we thought you were crazy, but man, it was some of the best times because those guys are so tight knit. And to me, it's all about making good people and having them being good citizens, being good husbands, being good fathers. I mean, to me, that's success anymore, because in today's world, it's all about how many did you win a state championship? That's the only thing it's success for. Did you, you know, how many games did you win? But, like, again, it's not just cliche and coach speak. We just really want to have some really good guys. And we're so fortunate to be in the Cave Spring community that our guys are awesome kids, knock on wood. They have good parents. It takes a village to raise these kids. And we're just a little small piece of that, being their coaches. And a lot of times we get way more out of it than probably what they do and help nurture and raise these kids. We do a small little part as coaches. But, man, it's very, very rewarding to see those guys come back, man. It's just – love it when they come in, man. Coach Roth, myself, Coach Mack, you know, these dudes come in, give you a big old hug. And it's a pretty cool feeling, man. It really is.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you sharing that as well and that feeling that goes forward. I appreciated our conversation today. I can't believe how fast time goes as we go through it. But listening, and I know when I get a chance to listen back and go through this and listen to themes like servant leadership and family and tough love as you go through it and relationship building and what's really important, and not hearing necessarily the X's and O's of what basketball are and the most important things. But those two things ultimately end up going hand in hand. You're making a positive influence. I appreciate what you've done. I congratulate you on your state championship. I appreciate, as I pointed the finger behind me, there's the one, I don't know if you can read that far, but that was my 1987 team first state championship and only state championship at Brook High School. And there's a little trophy of me as a wooden little trophy of me in 1987. So I used to play the game as well. And I share similar fun with some of the stories that you talk about. And again, I've been able to vicariously relive that by reading your book. So I hope many others get a chance to read that again. It's called No Place Like Home, and you can find it on Amazon. But as I finish up, I want to give you kind of the last word, and the way I always finish the podcast as well is I'm giving you a billboard or a big wall behind like the one you're sitting at there. And you get to tell a million people they're going to go buy this thing. what you want them to hear? What's your mantra that you want them to hear and going forward? And I've given you a little prep to get there, but what is it? What's on that sign for you? And what would you want to tell everybody?
To me, it's all about just being a good person. As simple as that sounds, to me, it's all about being a good person, man. Life is hard. Life is hard. We talk to our kids, and my son's sixth grade AAU team. We tried, just got done coaching his flag football team. It's just, you know, being a good dude, be a good person. Like, look for those opportunities. I coach with two guys in AAU and flag football, Rich Maxey and Kevin Conley. And we always talk about looking for those opportunities to help somebody else. Like, to me, life is hard. My kid's in middle school now. I teach in high school. Life is so difficult now. Like, it costs you nothing to be a good person. Like, look for opportunities just to help somebody else. If we all do that, man, this world is so crazy. It would become such a better place. Regardless of what your faith is, what you believe in, your politics, doesn't matter. Just always look for those opportunities to help somebody else. So if I had a billboard or on my headstone, if somebody had one thing to say about me, it's just be a good person. And I'll plug one last thing. I don't know if you saw when Ernie Johnson went in to talk to Alabama football this year, talked about being a better human. If you haven't watched, it's a 6-minute video on Twitter or any social media. You just put in Ernie Johnson from TNT and Alabama football. It's a 6-minute video. I showed it. I teach a leadership class here at the high school, but I showed it to every one of my classes. It's a pretty powerful thing about just being a good person, just looking for opportunities to help somebody else. And that's what I want to be remembered, man, is like, Coach was this bald, crazy dude from West Virginia, but he was a good person. And if I do that, man, I'm a pretty happy dude.
Coach Cruz, I appreciate you sharing. Be a good person. You're exactly right. The world would be a different place. I'll put a link to your Instagram profile so folks can stay in touch with you just to see what you're up to. And I will also put a link to the video because I did watch the Ernie Johnson video that you shared as well, which is pretty powerful too. Cause it is, you know, we learn so much from others as we go forward with it. I've learned from you today in the past few years. I appreciate our relationship that we have and look forward to staying in touch with you. My listeners, I'm sure, will benefit from it today too. I appreciate being here, Coach.
Man, thank you so much. I just hope we cue Country Roads as we're going off.
There you go, buddy. So that was fun. I wish you could have seen Coach Cruz during the interview. I had him on the Zoom and it was a lot of fun. I'm sure you heard some of the intensity and passion that he exudes and shows on the sideline as well. I appreciate how he shared about many different things, including the influence his family has had on who he is today, the changes he has had to go through as a coach over the years, his perspective on servant leadership, including his wife's servanthood as well as he's gone through his development journey. To me, the law of sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice to go up. And finally, the simplicity and power of his mantra, to be a good person. I think if we just realize that, we definitely would be in an uncommon place if we would just be a good person more often. If you like this episode, please share it. And if you share it on social media and tag me, you'll be entered into a drawing for a copy of the book. Until next time, let's go and grow champions.